Let's read here just for a moment in the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 24. I might read this from a couple of different versions, but we'll start here with the King James, okay? It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's take a look at that sentence in the NIV for just a moment. It says, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The word redemption, first of all, redemption, ladies and gentlemen, is a gift. It is a gift. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, every one of us deserves death, and death in that context meaning eternal separation from God. It means to be separated from God. We deserve that because of the inherent sin nature that we received at the fall. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. Sin was born into us from the fall of man back in the garden. And so it places us in the posture of separated from God. And the wages of our sin and the wages of that sin nature is death. There's a payday someday. You hear me? The wages of sin is death. And so if you and I die without Christ, it's a sad thing that people live their whole lives without Christ. They go through literal hell on earth, and then they die and go to hell eternally separated from the God that loves them so much because they would not come and bow at the feet of the world's Redeemer. But redemption is a gift. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Redemption means to deliver by paying a price. The work of Christ fulfilling all of the Old Testament types, all of the Old Testament prophecies of redemption, and it's presented to us in the New Covenant. There's three principal Greek words that's translated in one place or another, redemption, in the New Testament. The first word is agorazo. And agorazo means to buy in the market. To buy in the market. Agora is market. Man is viewed as a slave sold under sin, Romans 7:14. Man, because of this, is under the sentence of death, but subject to redemption by the purchase price of the blood of the Redeemer. Amen. I'm talking to you today about faith in the blood. Faith, I'm going to tell you right now, redemption will come in no other way than faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was totally guiltless. He was totally innocent. He was totally pure, still is, hallelujah, forever and forever. And He died upon a cross in my place. And when I put my faith in that, I mean the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross is the object of faith for every believer. It's the bedrock of Christianity, period. And when I put my faith in that, I receive the gift of God. I am redeemed. And in the first meaning, agorazo means He bought me out of the slave market. Hallelujah. The second word is exagorazo, and it means to buy out of the market, to purchase, and to remove from the possibility of any further sale. Glory be to God. And this speaks to us of the finality of the work of redemption. And the third Greek word, principal Greek word, there are some derivatives, but the third principal Greek word used for redemption in the New Testament is latru. And latru means to loose or to set free. So I want to encourage you to know today, if you'll take and combine all three of those principal Greek words and their definitions, here's what you have. Because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, he paid a price that he himself did not owe. He paid a price that we, in our fallen, sinful nature and being human, could not pay. But he paid it for us, buying us out of the slave market of sin. How many knows today that Satan has designed your bondage, your enslavement to everything evil imaginable for the duration of your life? Because Satan doesn't care for you at all. He wants to destroy you, so he places mankind in bondage. But the good gospel news is that mankind does not have to stay in bondage. Jesus Christ broke the power of bondage. Jesus Christ broke the power of sin at the cross when he shed his blood. And we are redeemed by faith in the blood. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to talk to you about today for a few moments. I'm not going to keep you long. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you for a touch of the Holy Spirit. I ask you for an anointing, God, that you will take these words. You will drive them to our hearts like arrows of deliverance, Lord. Help us to see the power of faith in the blood. And help us, God, to reach out with our faith today for all that the blood of Jesus has done for us and all that the blood of Jesus can mean to us every day that we walk upon this planet. And Lord, I pray, giving you all the praise and glory, and everyone would say, amen and amen. Now let's go back to our scripture in Romans chapter 3. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we just covered that real briefly. We should have spent a lot more time on it, but we covered it real briefly, the three principal Greek words as to what is redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. I want you to know tonight that when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your sanctification, when it comes to your deliverance, God has made a choice. He has made a choice to forbear his judgment. He has made a choice to provide you with a way of escape. He has made a choice to provide you with redemption. He has made a choice to be patient and to be merciful and to be loving kind toward you, giving you the space to repent. And if you will turn to Jesus in this hour, every sin will be washed away. Every bondage will be broken. Hallelujah. Notice I'm saying will be. I'm not saying hope so. This is not a hope-so salvation. This is a no-so salvation. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus. Now, hear what I'm saying today. The blood of Jesus is the guarantee of the no-so. Why? Because it was perfect blood. Satan had no right to accuse him of anything because Jesus had never sinned, not one time. Jesus could stand in full righteousness. He is God, but he faced his life also as man. He was very God, very man. He passed the test that you and I have failed. He passed it for us. He passed it in our place, in our stead, on our behalf. He hung upon the cross and shed his innocent, pure blood on our behalf, in our place, in our stead. Now, that is an object that when we place our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, it can't fail because Satan has no part in it. Satan cannot accuse Jesus of anything rightfully. Jesus was perfect. He was pure. He was holy. So was his blood that was shed that day. So this redemption, this mighty power that we're talking about, that has come down through the ages and met all of the sin of mankind at the hill of Golgotha on the cross of Calvary. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. See? Jesus is righteous. And you and I don't have any righteousness of our own that God would ever accept. So that puts us in a predicament. It puts us in a quandary. Because righteousness is the standard of God. Righteousness is the standard of heaven. So what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put our faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Because Jesus will impute his righteousness, glory be to God, to us. So now we are righteous with the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. We'll get to that verse in just a minute. Let's keep reading. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus by the law of faith. Hallelujah. Now I want to read all of that also from the NIV. It says, and I'm going to start in the 23rd verse, Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. And, hallelujah, when we put our faith in the blood, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as the sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Now let me stop there just a moment and get my pen here, make a little mark where I'm at so my eyes can find it quickly. Let me say this to you. Sin is so bad, sin is so dark, so dastardly, so despicable, so wicked. God hates sin so much that every single solitary sin has to be punished. It has to be. Get it out of your mind, and don't you ever think that God looks lightly at sin because of Jesus or because of the cross or because of the blood. God does not look lightly upon sin. God hates sin after the cross, just like God hated sin before the cross. You hear me? The difference is, in times past before the cross, when the sacrificial system had been instituted in Israel, and they would come every year and they would offer on the Day of Atonement for the sins of the people, and shed the blood of the innocent animals, that shedding of blood before the cross only covered sin. It did not wash sin away. And so in a sense, those sins were unpunished. They were appeased. They were covered for another year. But when Jesus died on Calvary, having met the test, having met the demands of a holy God. You see, Jesus didn't pay off the devil. Jesus met the demands of the righteousness and the justice of a holy God. That blood, hallelujah to the Lamb, that blood did not cover our sins. It washed it away. And those sins, past, present, future, were punished on Jesus on the cross. And his blood paid for all sin, for all time, for all men, everywhere. And that's why the scripture says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Because when we repent of all that we are, all that we have been, all that we have done, when we repent and we acknowledge our need for the Savior, and we look to Jesus and put our faith in his blood, hallelujah, his righteousness can then be imputed unto us. Good gospel news. Isn't that good? That is the story of redemption. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. He did it, verse 26, Romans chapter 3, NIV, to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Glory be to God. So when we say, you know, there's a lot of talk today about what is the object of the believer's faith. And the object of the believer's faith is Jesus. It says, he that believes in Jesus. He that believes in Jesus. Then Jesus is just to justify the one who believes in Jesus. So Jesus, all of him, is the object of the believer's faith. Jesus on the cross, Jesus shedding his blood, Jesus healing the leper, Jesus feeding the hungry, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, is the object of the believer's faith. And of course, it was on the cross where he paid the final price for our redemption that we read about earlier, hallelujah. And so, where is boasting? It is excluded. Boasting is not a part of my vocabulary. Because everything I got, I have received by faith in the blood. And I want to tell you today that faith in the blood is the answer for everything. And I don't care if you're lost today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your eternity is not secure in heaven, your answer is the faith in the blood of Jesus. Pure and simple. No other way. No other way to be saved. No other Savior. Okay? Your answer is faith in the blood of Jesus. If today you are bound by a habit in your life, maybe it's a drug habit, maybe it's a nicotine habit, maybe it's an alcohol habit, maybe it's a sex habit, whatever it might be, your answer, it will be found in nothing that you can concoct in order to overcome. Your answer is simply faith in the blood of Jesus. And when you place your faith in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes the working power of the blood a reality, an effectual reality in your life. Faith in the blood. Faith is the answer to everything. Let's even be more specific for the sake of our listening audience. Faith in the blood, faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the answer for everything. And yet we've got Christians. They came to Jesus and got saved, and the only thing they did to get saved was put their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They came, they gave their heart to Jesus, they got saved, they got washed in the blood, but now, when the devil brings up an old sin or when the devil brings up an old bondage back up in their life again, they think they have to do something to get victory over that. But see, victory comes the same way salvation comes. It comes through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, faith in the blood is the answer to everything. Glory be to God. It's the absolute answer to anything that besets the human race. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Now let's look at another verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith in the blood of Jesus is the power and the vehicle that launches the believer into the very presence of God. Hallelujah. We're launched into a, literally now, into a new realm where another law rules, and that's the law of faith. Listen, Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, notice it says enemies in your mind, enemies in your mind by wicked works, because wicked works will make you ashamed. Wicked works, when you go out here and you sin against God in any form, and it could come in the form of you sinning against another person because you're really sinning against God. But when you sin against God, when you sin against your body, you're sinning against God. When you sin against other people, you're sinning against God. And when you do that, it makes you ashamed. It puts a deep sense of shame and guilt within the human heart. And there's only one power that can break that deep sense of shame and guilt. The power of psychology cannot do it. The power of psychotherapy cannot do it. The power of psychotropic drugs cannot do it. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to break that sense of guilt and shame because of your own wicked works, because of your own wicked thoughts. And we were born that way, with the seed of sin, the sin nature ruling and dominating in us. But hey, faith in the blood is the answer to everything, including the tentacles of the fall and the powers of that old sin nature. Amen? You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. It was the death of Jesus on the cross that paid the price for sin. And in the paying of the price for sin, it also opened the door to freedom. Freedom from every sin, freedom from every shame, freedom from every guilt, and freedom from every bondage at the cross. And so I know some people get tired of hearing about the cross. But I'm going to keep preaching it. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Because that's where your answer is. And there is no other answer found at any other place except the cross. And the faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. Glory be to God. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The law of sin and death is broken by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The weight of sin that once held you down is broken at the cross, and you are free. Think of the power and think of the possibilities in the blood of Jesus. And that's why it is the object of faith for every believer. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Remember, we touched on that a minute ago. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Glory be to God. The Amplified Bible says, he secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. For us. Glory to God. He did it all for us. He didn't need it. He had never sinned, but he did this for you and for me. So now believing with your heart, believing these things with your heart is a very personal thing. When your conscience is cleansed by the blood, now your heart can have confidence toward God. No one else can apply the blood of Jesus to your life except for you. And I say that loosely. It's the Holy Spirit that applies it, but it's you that has to have the faith. You have faith in the blood. And when you have faith in the blood, the Holy Spirit begins to apply the effectual working of the blood into your heart and life on a moment-by-moment basis even. Let's look at Hebrews 9:14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Glory to God. And so we see that the work that Jesus did on the cross and the work of Christ upon the cross that we place our faith in is not a dead work. It's a living work. And the works that spring forth in us because of faith in the blood are living works. Huh? Living begats living. Dead begats dead. everything after its kind. Now that's a law of the Spirit. And it works in faith. Faith in the blood. Hallelujah. When the blood of Jesus is applied by faith to our hearts, then there is a work of reconciliation accomplished in us. Even our consciences are purified as we apply the cleansing blood. We see that through the blood, or even though the blood has been applied in heaven for us, it is also necessary that the blood be applied in us. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, went to heaven, took his blood to the holies of holies, applied it to the mercy seat on our behalf. That's one thing. Glory be to God. That was the first phase. That was the first step. Now, the blood of Jesus has to be applied within us also. It's been applied in heaven for us. Now it has to be applied within us, in our hearts, in our consciences. And only the Holy Spirit can affect that. And He will only affect that on the basis of us having faith in the blood. The power in the blood will then be experienced in our conscience and inmost personalities. Our conscience is the voice of our spirit. Our conscience then witnesses that we are cleansed and every hindrance has been removed. Intimate fellowship with God is completely restored. And 1 John 4:17 says that as He is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're, you know, all little gods. We're not little gods. There's only one God, eternally existent in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? As He is, so are we in this world. He is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. He is justified. He is sanctified, totally set apart. He is God. We are not God. But we stand in His imputed righteousness. He imputes His righteousness to us. He imputes His purity to us. He imputes His holiness to us. And the Holy Spirit, working on our faith, is constantly conforming us into the image of Christ Jesus. That's called sanctification. And sanctification is both positional and progressive. It is both positional and conditional. It is both positional and progressive. And we're going to be in that process of sanctification every single day until we graduate here and go home to heaven. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And that work of the Holy Spirit is activated by faith in the blood. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's read Romans 6:11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon is an accounting term. So is the word reconcile. They're accounting. When you reconcile, you're an account. You don't create facts or figures. You just simply record facts and figures. See? Your feelings don't determine the facts. You may feel like you have a certain amount of money in your bank account, but you better not go by your feeling. You better go by the bank's record. Amen? Likewise, not feeling like you're saved, or not feeling like you're forgiven, or not feeling like you're victorious doesn't change the facts of redemption. Glory be to God. Every day there must be a reconciling, a reckoning of the facts of redemption in heaven to your personal life here on earth. How do we do that? By faith in the blood. By faith in the blood. In other words, we have to take heaven's realities every day. Sometimes, moment by moment, we take heaven's realities and bring them to our life here on earth. How do we do that? By faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. See, I told you. Faith in the blood is the answer to everything. Glory be to God. So it doesn't matter. Today I might not feel saved. Today I might not feel forgiven. Today I might not feel victorious. Today I might not feel loved. I have to go to the Word of God. And this Word is the Word of our covenant. The Bible says that, we're talking about faith in the blood. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so this book is the covenant that we have with God in Christ Jesus. I used to always say it this way. God in Jesus made a covenant, and by faith in the blood, I enter into that covenant that they too have. Glory to God. And this Word is my record of it. And this Word is my promise of it. And this Word gives me the benefits of it. It describes it for me. It lays it out. And so I have to go to the Word every day. If I am going to have the faith necessary to reach up and grab heaven's realities and bring them down here to my everyday life on planet Earth, I'm going to need to be in the Word every day, applying that Word by faith to my heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and renew my mind and apply the blood that I'm believing in. So I might not feel forgiven. I might not feel saved. I might not feel loved. I might not feel worth anything today. But I go to the Word of God. And I let the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I let the Holy Spirit, because of faith in the blood that I have, I let the Holy Spirit take that blood and apply it to my heart. And apply it to my thinking. And apply it to my mind. And apply it to my conscience. And apply it to my perceptions. And apply it to every part of who I am as a human being. Glory be to God. And it always, the Holy Spirit always, He always speaks to me of the victory in Christ Jesus. There is no defeat for the child of God. There is no defeat for the child of God. There is no loss for the child of God. Woo! Faith in the blood is the answer for everything. So we don't go by feelings. We go by heaven's recorded facts. And we can declare this Word with our voice, because faith has a voice. Faith cannot be silent. Faith, true Bible faith, will not be silent. Faith has a voice, and faith says, I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and that's a fact. I am loved by Jesus, and that's a fact. I am saved by the blood, and that's a fact. Glory be to God. Faith has a voice. Faith not only has a voice, but faith has an action. Faith is going to conduct itself like the Word of God is true. And so if we see in the natural, in our flesh, that we're going a different direction, and we're conducting ourselves in a different way, then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to pull us back to faith. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Now listen, we're going to get into this a little more. I don't believe we're going to get all the way through this teaching today. I want to read something to you here that Andrew Murray said. Andrew Murray said, "He who once gave his blood for us will surely, every moment, impart to us its effectiveness. Trust Him to do this. Trust Him to open your eyes and to give you a deeper spiritual insight. Trust Him to teach you to think about the blood as God thinks about it. Trust Him to impart to you and to make effective on you all that He enables you to see." Okay, so when we begin to see clearly what Jesus has done for us through His blood, then we begin to go on what many people term the deeper life. A deeper walk with God comes through the cross, through the blood. And faith not only has a voice, but faith has an action. We're going to deal with that a little bit later. We already quoted it a moment ago. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see that faith is built on accurate knowledge. One preacher has said there's no such thing as ignorant faith. When faith comes, substance comes, and you know when that has taken place. Andrew Murray further said, faith is largely dependent on knowledge. If knowledge of what the blood can accomplish is not accurate, then faith will expect little, and the more powerful effects of the blood will be limited. Feeble ideas of its power prevent the deeper and more perfect manifestations of the effects of the blood, Andrew Murray said. So in order for us to have faith in the blood, we must understand what God says about the blood. All right? Now I want you to turn in your Bible real quickly as we get ready to close this for today to the book of Revelation and the 12th chapter. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Let me see if I can find it in this Bible here. Revelation, chapter 12. And here's what the Bible says in the 10th verse. Let's read the 11th verse to save some time. And they overcame him, meaning they overcame the devil. They overcame the adversary. They overcame the evil one. That would include all of his manifestations. That would include sin. It would include bondage. It would include everything that's of the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Number one, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, by the word of their testimony. I told you, faith has a voice. Faith cannot be silent. And number three, and they love not their lives unto the death. You see, it doesn't matter to me how I feel about these things. It doesn't matter how I think about these things. I lay my life aside in order to walk in the Christ life, or the life that Jesus wants to impart to me, in order for me to walk in the will of God, in order for me to live totally for Jesus, I have to lay down my life and love not my life unto the death. And I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. What does that mean? It means many things, but here's the one I'm going to leave you with today. I can testify first personally. Or we could say it this way, I can confess, or I can testify personally to everything the Word says that the blood of Jesus has done for me. Then that can be my testimony. That is my testimony that overcomes. That is my confession of faith. That is my profession of faith. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Faith has a voice. And faith has an action. We see that. That is, I love not my life unto the death. That takes faith to live that way. So faith has a voice. Faith has an action. Faith has an object. And that object is the blood. Again, faith in the blood is the answer to absolutely everything that you and I would ever face. And so with the proper voice and the proper action and the proper object, then I would dare say that this is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I would dare say that we are the triumphant, victorious church in and because of Jesus. And only in and because of Him. Glory be to God. And so the church needs to take again an inventory of what we're preaching and what we're teaching about the blood. Hallelujah. Because the blood of Jesus, I say it again, is the answer to absolutely everything. Glory be to God. Let's read here another quote from Andrew Murray. Faith in the blood of Jesus can produce greater results in us than we have ever yet known. Remember, we said the blood was applied in heaven for us, And it must also be applied in us, and that's done by the Holy Spirit as we respond to the Word of God, and we respond by faith. Faith comes by what the Word is telling us, and God is speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us as we read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and fellowship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. He is applying the blood on the inside of us. We can plead the blood. That's another subject. We'll get into that later. We can plead the blood on a regular basis over every need that we have in our lives. Here's what Andrew Murray said. He said, as we seek to find out what the Scriptures teach about the blood, we will see that faith in the blood, even as we now understand it, can produce greater results in us than we have ever yet known. And in the future, a ceaseless blessing may be ours. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read beginning with verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. Hallelujah for good works. Good works are a part of this thing, glory be to God. And the proper works comes by faith in the blood. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So you see through that verse of Scripture right there, you and I can't work up anything that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. It's the Holy Ghost, because of our faith in the blood, that will work in us those things that are pleasing to the Lord, well-pleasing to God, the Bible says. And then when we go out there and do them as good works, God is pleased. Not if we get that in reverse order, though. In other words, if we're doing to try to please God, then we're not pleasing God. But if we're believing with faith in the blood, and the Holy Spirit is applying that blood in us, He is performing in us those things that are well-pleasing to God, and then that is an outflow. It results in what we do and the way we live and the good works that we become involved in. That is pleasing to the Lord. So we've got to get the process right. We could call that the process that pleases God. Hallelujah. It says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Working in you. When you work something into something, you apply pressure. I mean, it's just like when you're combining ingredients to make a meatloaf or something, you know, and you're mixing it all up with your hands and you're working it in and you're working it together and you're rubbing it down and you're working it. See, it's a pressure involved. Sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit years with some of us to work in us those things that are well-pleasing to God. Hallelujah. But thank God He doesn't give up on us and He doesn't lose patience with us. Huh? Thank God He doesn't kick us out and set us aside. But He keeps working on us and working in us those things which are well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Andrew Murray says once again, he says, believer, I urge you, let every thought about the blood awaken in you the glorious confession, by His own blood, the Lord Jesus has sanctified me. He has taken complete possession of me for God, and I belong entirely to God. Those are the words. That is a confession that Andrew Murray made. So we can see here that there is no such thing as silent faith. Faith has a voice. Faith involves believing and speaking. We must hold fast our profession of faith in the blood of Jesus. We honor the blood of Jesus as we lift our voice in faith, declaring what it has done and what it is accomplishing. Hallelujah. We must confess our faith in the blood and its power. And I want you to turn with me real quick, real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 13th verse. And we'll look at that verse as we close today. Glory be to God. I hope you got something out of this good stuff here today. I can sense that some, even right now, have been set free in their spirit by the power of the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. Now you put your faith in it. Now you speak your faith in it. Now you act upon your faith in it. You lay your life down. You lay it aside. Don't worry about what people, if they're judging you or not. Just keep on speaking and keep on acting. Keep on speaking and keep on acting. Keep on walking with the Lord. Let voices dissent if they want to. Keep on walking with the Lord Jesus. He will bring you through to victory. He will bring you into a large place, the Bible says. Hallelujah. A large place of deliverance. A large place of sanctification. A large place of victory. Glory be to God. A large place of deliverance. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep walking with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Here's what the Bible says. Faith has a voice. Faith cannot be silent. Faith must speak. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. And we also believe and therefore speak. Now what do we believe? We believe that none of this comes from any power that we have within ourselves. We believe that the only one worthy of preeminence is Jesus. The only one worthy of any glory is Jesus. The one who has all power and authority is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus has all power. If he has all power, then Satan must have no power, because Jesus has all of it. So we believe that the one that we are to glorify is Jesus Christ and he alone. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now, we further believe and boldly declare that speaking what the Word of God says does, in fact, bring glory to Jesus and Jesus alone. And we further declare, and that boldly, that when we act according to the inner working of the Holy Spirit within us, then that also brings glory and honor to Jesus and Jesus alone. So our whole lives as Christians is to revolve around bringing the glory and the honor not to ourselves, not to our denomination, not to our favorite preachers, but to Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. And we do that by faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. Glory be to God. Faith is the answer today to your marriage problems. Faith is the answer to your sin problem. Faith is the answer to the battle you fight in your thought life and the mind. Faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus is to be extolled. The blood of Jesus is to be exalted. The blood of Jesus is to be heralded. The blood of Jesus should have the preeminence over all of the universe. The blood of Jesus that he shed on Calvary's cross is the answer to everything. Hallelujah to God. I have, according to Colossians 1:20, I have peace with God through the blood of his cross. I was an enemy of God, but now I have been reconciled to him. And now, because of the blood of Jesus, I am unblameable in his sight, according to Colossians 1:22. Christ has obtained eternal redemption for me, according to Hebrews 9:12, and the blood of Jesus purges my conscience from dead works to serve a living God, according to Hebrews 9:14. Faith in the blood comes to me now by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Through the blood, I am being perfected in every good work by the Holy Spirit to do God's will, according to Hebrews 13 and verse 21. So praise God for the blood. Lift up your voices today and declare what the blood has done for you. Because we overcome by the word, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we do not love our lives unto the death. We are ready to step, to take a step out of ourselves and leave that flesh behind and leave the doubt and the unbelief behind. And we are ready now to live by faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is the answer. I'll say it again. To everything. This message does not glorify the believer. This message does not over-empower the believer. Because you and I, as I have stated repeatedly, have no power in and of ourselves at all. And left to our own devices, we are but miserable failures. But in Jesus, there's no such thing as a failure. Not in Jesus. Not in His blood. His blood is total victory. His blood is total success. And so we glorify the blood. We extol the virtues of the blood of Jesus. We give Him the praise. We give Jesus the praise. We give Jesus the glory. We lift up Jesus. Our message is Jesus. Our song is Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And He is so kind and so gracious and so merciful that He brings us into it. Hallelujah. If we will place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that He shed upon the cross for us. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time of teaching with the people today. Lord God, bless Thy word. God, show us by Thy Holy Spirit today what You want us to receive from Your word. And God, put it to practice within our lives. Help us, God, to make the right choices, to make the right decisions. Help us, God, to take the proper steps and to walk by faith in the blood every minute of every day for the rest of our lives. Help us, God, propel us into Your victory now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody would say, amen and amen.